Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 60th episode of Add This to Your List.
Yeah, we old now.
Right? 6-0. We made it to this milestone. We're just cranking them out. I love it. Well, thank you, listeners, so much for joining us. If you are looking for a good recommendation or a warning of what to skip, you have come to the right place. We are three co-hosts that are obsessed with all things entertainment.
Obsessed.
Obsessed, of course. And let me introduce
emoji hand clap obsessed.
Okay, wow. Tom is the most obsessed. He is so excited to be. He's the most excited to be here. But let me introduce you guys. Speaking of Tom, we got Tom Chuba over in our Connecticut Cowboy. How you doing, Tom?
You know, I've been better, to tell you the truth, guys.
Oh no. What's going on?
I found out one of my dogs. So I have three dogs, one full time, two that I share in, we'll call a custody agreement, from an ex relationship. Mm-hmm. My Sheltie Allie, she's 12, and I found out that she has like a massive heart, like four times the size of what it should be.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, I mean, she's not suffering, but, like, the vet hit us with a bunch of overwhelming stuff, and we just started her on heart medicine, so hopefully that helps, but then we're taking her to a cardiologist. Yes, they have cardiologists for dogs. There is such a thing. We're taking her to a cardiologist in 2 weeks to see, and she's going to get an EKG, much like human beings get. And we'll see if we can figure out better what's going on and if there's anything we can do. But, I mean, she's a happy girl. Her gums are pink, so the vet says that's very important because that means she's getting a lot of the oxygen. And she's still very interested in food, and she's still a happy girl. But it's just sad when time nears for your animals.
It's too soon. But she's not in pain or anything?
No, she's not. The vet was like rambling on and on for 10 minutes about everything that was wrong and what you could do to possibly fix it. And I was like, time out. I was like, can you just tell me what her comfort level is? And she was like, okay, no, she's not in like terrible, terrible pain. I was like, okay, you should have started with that. But
yeah, right? You're like, okay, great. Thank you. Aw, well, we're thinking of her. And hopefully the medicine will help. And
fingers crossed.
Hopefully things stay okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that, Tom. We're all thinking of her.
Thank you.
And Foom, we have Foomy on our West Coast, our West Coast correspondent.
Hi.
How you doing, girl? How's life for you this weekend?
It's good. It's a beautiful weekend. Very nice and gorgeous weather. I did a walk yesterday. I just got back from a walk.
Move those
today,
legs, girl.
So just enjoying the weather.
Yes. I love it. Yeah. Today wasn't so... You know, I mean, it was pretty decent, but yesterday, Saturday for us on the East Coast, in New York and Connecticut, we were living. It was 60, like 5. I'm not even going to lie. At a certain point in the day, in like the afternoon around like 3:30, I'm not lying, guys. And I know it's so bad. I'm going to try to get over this. I literally said, ugh, I'm hot.
Yeah. But,
yeah, I know. I know. I said that today.
Did you? Oh, my God. I know. And I caught myself. I was like, no, it's not even... like April 1st, but now it's April.
Yeah.
So, you know, there we go. So
but tomorrow's going to be 31. So nature's like April Fools, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. April Fools. And you know, we'll just have to deal with it. But you know, I'm at least loving the sun. Spring is here. Flowers are blooming and the good stuff is coming. Later this episode, we will get into our list and we'll go over what we're loving and maybe what we're hating. We'll see. And then at the end of the episode, we are going to do a deep dive into Jordan Peele's The Twilight Zone. We went from a Jordan Peele us discussion last week, and we're just sticking with the Peele connection and going into The Twilight Zone.
You owe us, Jordan. All this free publicity.
I see what you mean.
I
see.
Yes. Was like, what? When did he owe us?
Yeah, I was like, does Jordan owe us money? Great.
No, better all this free publicity.
Right. I know. You better come on the show one day, Jordan. But before we get into our list, let's get into some knock, knock, knock housekeeping and headlines because we got some news to talk about, guys.
Yeah.
So on the housekeeping front, let's go into some new updates and things that we've talked about recently on the show. The biggest one, Let's talk about Jussie Smollett, because this case just takes these weird turns and things get weirder and weirder.
It so does.
It so does, right? And the latest that we all have heard, at least the latest I think has been out there, is now all the charges are dropped and his record it has been expunged. Clean. It's as if it's as if nothing's ever happened. This has totally thrown, I think, most of us for a loop, because it seemed like things were getting really intense, and he was very much...
I mean, he was indicted.
Yes.
And, by a grand jury.
Absolutely, and there was obviously evidence and all this stuff. So what do you guys make of this? What happened?
My understanding is that essentially they didn't feel like they could convict because, as you know, it was just too confusing. It was like, what's happening? What's going on? Is he guilty? Is he not guilty? Were the police... you know, release evidence that they shouldn't have. Who were those guys? Like, I just think it was, there was no way that they could find a jury that would be impartial or anybody who could say beyond a reasonable doubt, whatever this case was. So I think that's probably why. But regardless, I mean, I don't know. I guess in the court of public opinion, you know, that's still left to be determined on whether or not he did this or didn't do it.
Right. And the mayor and the chief of police all think the, it's not the DA. I want to say it's maybe the state attorney or something. This woman, I want to say her name's Kim Fox. They think she's a little shady. So maybe there were some discussions behind closed doors. Yeah. I don't know. But either way, whether, you know, we believe that or not, what do you think will happen to Jussie now? Is everything all right in the public eye, or are people going to stay away from him? Is he going to stay on Empire? What do you guys think?
I think he might stay on Empire, especially because now you have some of his castmates, like Taraji came out over the weekend and said, I always believed him to begin with. And I know Gabby Sidibe, or Sidibe, I'm always Sidibe. Confused as to say her last name. I know before he had even been indicted, she had made a public statement that she took his side and she knows him to be an honest and decent man. So the fact that a lot of the cast kind of supports this, I don't know if Terrence Howard has spoken out. But I kind of feel like he might get a pass and stay on Empire, but I'd be hard pressed to believe that he's going to find much work beyond that.
Right. I would agree with you, Tom. I feel like, yes, it's probably the best thing now with this news to keep him on Empire and just maybe keep him only to a supporting role maybe. But I don't know if this is super tricky, because now it's like, everyone believed you did something super wrong, and now that took a turn, and now you're actually totally fine, but still, it's like, I don't think anyone wants to really be near him, at least employer-wise. I don't think many people want to touch that, because that name is a little tricky, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? I don't know. We'll see how it goes, but this totally made my jaw drop. I was so confused. I was like, okay, I'll just wait until the end of the day to catch up on articles, because... this is confusing. I thought it was a joke at first, the news. But so that's the update about Jussie. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Another update in the past we have talked about, we are super curious and interested in Apple TV Plus.
Uh-huh.
So by now you have heard it is called Apple TV Plus. That's the Apple
Lame,
TV
by the way.
Streaming. Yes. You know, I have to say, I agree with you, Tom. It's a little, you know,
especially since Disney's calling their platform Disney Plus. It's like,
Totally. I feel like they sort of snatched that. Like, they've been calling Disney Plus that for a good few months now. So it's like, you didn't want to change your mind at all. But I guess they figure we're going to announce first. So we're going to keep that plus. But so they have, you know, released a great, super awesome, classy trailer of all their upcoming shows that'll be released on the streaming network later this year. And it's interesting. We still, though, don't know what the rate will be, what the monthly fee will
be. Yeah, why do you guys think that they didn't release that information?
I think they're trying to get a sense of how excited people were from this to see how much they could
charge.
They're trying
to,
Because it's going to be more than Netflix. I would bet a lot of money that it's going to be more per month than Netflix.
Yeah, I agree with you, because they're really going
music
this whole,
alone
like,
is $9.99. So just put that in perspective.
Right. And how especially they're kind of trying to tout themselves as, like, we're the highest caliber streaming. You know, we have all these A-listers. Like, they're really hitting that whole thing hard, which I think is interesting because, sure, everyone loves big names. I mean, you got Jennifer Aniston, Reese, Oprah, Oprah's coming back. We don't really know exactly in what capacity, right? Because they just sort of had that
trailer. It's a docuseries.
Okay, it's a docuseries. Yeah. Okay. So we have Oprah, we have Octavia, we have Jason Momoa, we have Spielberg, which very interesting because as we talked about before. Homie.
What you doing, right? Boy?
Yeah, exactly. Really? So is he producing one of the shows or what is he doing?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know why he was there. I think
he's an investor or something. Yeah. it's kind of weird. This is what ultimately is the oddest thing about this whole thing. You know, it's great to see the footage and all the shows look good, but I still feel like, yeah, like, what's the price? Why is Steven Spielberg there? Like, I just feel like there are, like, questions that I feel like you didn't want to, like, clarify this on the day that you announced. I don't know. I agree with you, Tom. I think it's going to be more money than your generic, you know, standard streaming because, yeah, they're just going for these big A-list names.
And it's very shady for Steven Spielberg to go after Netflix when he knew very well he was in business with Apple. Like, right.
Absolutely.
So, like, optics, man. Like, yeah. Really?
I wonder if he was maybe told to do that.
It kind of makes you wonder what kind of, if he's a good guy or not. Like, you know,
It's weird. I feel like he's either very confused or he was sort of maybe told by someone to, like, yeah, really rag on Netflix. I don't get it because
that was bad.
I would not rag on Netflix and Apple TV Plus. Just keep in mind, yes, everyone loves famous people. However, you know what is better right now than famous people is diversity and all sorts of stories and backgrounds.
Absolutely.
And, you know, people don't really give a ton of shit anymore about, like, ooh, big movie stars.
Yeah,
I mean, if the story
totally
isn't
right.
good, people are going to check out. So, you know, yeah, tout all your A-listers, but if the content isn't good, I don't think you're going
to
be.
And Apple keeps pushing their consumers to, and they're going to push to a breaking point because we were, you know,
we
talking about what we thought the price range was going to be. And I think we might be on par for what we were thinking.
Sure.
You know, it might be. So, like, we'll wait to see what this whole Apple TV Plus is going to cost. But if they think that people are going to sign up for $60 a month for Apple TV and this news app and then their music, they are tripping.
Yeah.
And confused.
Tripping.
And confused.
I have a hunch that at least for their, like, original scripted content streaming, you know, avenue, I have a feeling it's going to be at least like $12.99 a month. I bet you it's going to be at least that. Maybe even more.
Well, that's what Netflix is.
Is that what Netflix is already? $12.99?
Netflix is now $13, yeah. Or
$12.99. Oh, dang. Okay, then Apple's going to be like $15. It's going to be like $14.99, $15.99.
We shall see.
We'll see. Yeah, that's very interesting. We'll see how that goes. We also still don't really know an actual launch date, just sometime later this year. So, so again, it's kind of like, thanks for all this info, but where's all the rest of the info? We'll see.
Yep.
Maybe Spielberg will tell us one day. And then one other housekeeping item that I thought was super interesting. It was just announced this weekend that Mark Hamill, Mr. Luke Skywalker himself, is the voice of the new Chucky in the new Child's Play remake that we have discussed on this podcast, coming out in just about 2 months, a little more than that. So very interesting to get Luke Skywalker
super
as your
bizarre.
Bad guy. Right?
Yeah,
kind of bizarre.
I mean, go for it, sure.
He actually, in addition to Star Wars, he does a lot of voice work. So, I mean, he's probably great, but it's just such an interesting casting choice. What do you think, Tom?
I have to say that, you know, now that he's attached to it, Aubrey Plaza is a pretty big name. And then, you know, Brian Tyree Henry, a lot of people during award season really felt like he should have gotten a Best Supporting Actor nomination for Beale Street Could Talk. And I have to say that I agree with that. His scene was really profound, very short. He didn't have a lot of screen time, but his scene was very profound and very moving when he's talking about what it's like to be in prison.
Right.
So he's something. So there might be something to this movie, guys. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely they're doing some interesting decisions. So, you know, cool. I'm into it. I still think it's super risky to remake a franchise that I feel like still is very much going. Like they just came out with like Chucky 7 like a year ago.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Kind of odd to now reboot it, but we'll see. I thought that was just a super interesting casting choice. So we'll see how that goes. Now, guys, let's switch to headlines. Foom, you got some news for us. You want to tell us what's going on?
Yeah, so for a while now, the Writers Guild has been going against their agents for the elimination of packaging fees. And the Writers Guild's contracts are up on the 7th of April. And it sounds like both sides are stalling and are really digging in their heels. So essentially what is going to happen, and essentially what packaging fees are, is the writers get are angry because they are the creatives behind shows that we see on television, right? If you don't have a writer, you don't have a show.
I mean, you don't have a show.
It's just the way it is.
For sure.
And a lot of times, agents are making more money off of writers' ideas because agents sell these shows as package deals to studios. And essentially what that is, it's a fee that these studios have to pay to agencies. Mm-hmm. And these fees end up being tens of millions of dollars on a show where a writer, it's their creative idea, it's their brainchild, it's everything is their idea. They may only make a few million off of a show. So writers are tired of it, and they want agents to stop doing packaging deals, but agents don't want to stop doing packaging deals because it's how they're making all their money.
Right.
So they're essentially threatening their agents to say, if you guys don't accept to stop doing packaging deals or sign a contract that says if your writer wants you to opt out of doing it, you will opt out, you will not do it, then they are going to demand that all of the writers fire their agents. And the agents are like, no, we're not going to do that. So this contract ends on the 7th as it currently stands, and we'll see what happens. But it looks like as of right now, as of early this week, writers are going to fire their agents come like Friday
or Monday of next week. So interesting. Yeah, it's so interesting. I love like the drama of the business side of things. Because honestly, I didn't really know much about packaging until like a few years ago, you know, getting more experience in the field and everything. And I kind of have always sort of, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one here, but I've sort of always rolled my eyes at packaging stuff because I'm like, oh, like, so that writer, that actor, and that director all have the same agent. Like, oh, okay, that kind of feels like, you know, so, I mean, I get it, but yeah, it might be, you know, a good thing to get rid of it. So I do totally see where the writers are coming from. What do you personally think about it, Foom? Do you have one side that you're leaning towards in this fight?
I talked to a friend of mine who's a writer and just had her like explain to me like what this is all about and what it really means, and hearing from her perspective, I do think that, you know, we live in a world where there's really unfair playing grounds, right? Mm-hmm. Like there are just people who keep getting rich and just keep taking bigger pieces of the pie, and like it's not enough for them. They just can't get it. They just keep taking and taking and taking, and they're literally leaving nothing for everybody else.
Right.
And you just, society can't sustain in that way, right? Eventually you're going to have people who are like, what the hell is going on? Like, this isn't right. This isn't fair. And eventually you're going to have people who are like going to make a stand to say enough is enough.
Mm-hmm. And especially when it's your intellectual property. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, well, yeah. Like,
these are my ideas. You're just being my middleman and shopping it around.
Which is
and
exactly what I know agents are.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And a couple years ago, I feel like Amazon shut that down. But I know for a while, Amazon tried out this whole thing where if you had a script or a concept that you wanted to pitch to them, you could do it right off their site when they were first launching Prime as like a TV and movie medium, if you will. I think they did shut that down. But like, you know, maybe that's where we go from here, where especially maybe Netflix, right, opens up a way where, got an idea, submit it to us, and you don't need an agent to do it.
Well, the thing about it is that a lot of writers don't even have agents. I know that my friend doesn't have an agent. She just relies on her lawyer and her manager.
Right, that's true.
And eventually she might not even have, you know, that anymore. I mean, I don't know. But I know a lot of writers don't really have agents. They get their jobs on their own, actually. And they just use their lawyers to negotiate their deals. So essentially, I mean, I don't know. Listen, agents have been around since Hollywood and, you know, media from the very beginning.
Absolutely.
They're not going anywhere. But I do think that it's fair to say that no one should make more money off of my idea than me.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like, my idea.
Totally.
So, you know, they have every right to demand fair and honest practices from the people who work for them, because agents work for their clients.
Absolutely. I was going to say that. Yep. Yeah. You know, this is
same with the
publicist.
Same with the manager.
Absolutely. All these people are to support an artist and the project, right? So this right here is kind of like, hey, you got to support this. You can't, you know, just only focus on yourself. So, yeah, it's super interesting. We'll see how it goes. And I guess we'll know soon if the deadline is already in a few days, like you said, Foom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Yep.
Wow. Tom, you have no other news to tell us about, right?
No other news,
okay.
Really.
Cool. I'll move on to my little bit of news that I fell in love with when I heard this story a few days ago, and we had a little update the last couple days. So, if you haven't heard by now, basically the North Bergen High School Drama Club, they are like my people. I love them so much. They staged a play version of Alien for their spring play. They only did two performances, but they made all of their sets and costumes, and these things looked awesome. Did you guys check out, like, the viral video?
I saw pictures on
Facebook. Oh, my gosh.
Facebook,
yeah. Yes,
no,
there's a...
I didn't see.
Oh, Foom, you gotta see. I know...
It's pretty cool.
I know we talked about Alien's 40th anniversary this year, and you both were like, meh, I love it, but, you know, I understand. But literally, look up this video, watch the awesome Alien that they... It looks just like the movie. It's incredible. These kids are only, like, 15, 16, 17. They and their awesome teachers... did this whole version of the show. They had their spacesuits. They even, there's video of the face hugger, like alien baby that shoots out of an egg. I don't even know how they did that. Some kid was in the alien costume and it looks awesome. So they did a full out, full blown production of Alien. And just a few days ago, I love these people. Both Ridley Scott and Sigourney Weaver reached out to them. Ridley Scott wrote a really nice letter to them, even saying that his production company, Scott Free, would gladly give them some money to do an encore performance, which I love. And he even said,
that's cool.
I think that's so cool, right? Like that, I feel like when you are a star, you know, you're a star. Like you know, there are movie stars, there are actors. But when you're a star, that is when you really make contact with your fans and you do awesome things like this. Because it doesn't cost you money to write a letter. Sigourney Weaver, I think on one of the maybe Avatar sets, she looks like she's on set somewhere. She sent an awesome video to them saying she's so proud of them. She's blown away by their creativity. I just think it's so nice. It's so wonderful. And Ridley Scott even said, I think your next show should be a stage version of Gladiator, which is so fun. So it's just nice to see these big names, you know, not focused on any sort of copyright issues or anything like that. Like, they're like, oh, my God, this is awesome. You should keep doing this. You should, you know, let this inspiration keep driving you and work together. And I just love it, guys. It's warmed my heart. I got a little teary-eyed watching the video of their awesome stuff because it's like, yeah, we've all been there. Like, what you're doing is great. Keep doing that, you know? I loved it. I thought it was very cute. So, go you, North Bergen High School. We're fans of you. Maybe you'll be on the show one day, right? Oh, and real quick, before we get into our list, Foom, I'm a little delayed, but I have to ask how you're feeling. Broad City has come to an end. How are you feeling?
I know.
I'm so sad.
You know, I thought that they had a beautiful season. And
are you all really... caught up? Did you watch the finale?
Oh, yeah, I watched the finale.
Okay, I'm behind, so I haven't seen it. I think, like, in the back of my head, I've been pushing it off, so I'll get there soon, but I'm sad.
Yeah, it was a good season. It was a really well-done series finale. The last few episodes were really well done. I'm sad to see Alana and Abby go, but it was a great, great, great show with a lot of laughs.
One of the best comedies ever.
Yeah, it was very strong. It was
absolutely
a really strong comedy, so... but they're still going to be working together, so we'll still get projects from the both of them. So
good. I feel like they could, that duo
that.
Could live on in movies and, you know, other stuff. Like, I need them in my life, you know, more. So, Tom, you need to get on that
Broad
City train.
You're in for a treat. A couple of these episodes are really funny.
Okay, good.
What episode are you on?
So we're behind. We just finished the one where Alana and, oh my gosh, what's her boyfriend's name? I forget it. Hannibal Buress. They are out to dinner, going through all their like it's their anniversary.
Oh, okay.
They're going over the next year's like projections and all that. Oh, so funny. And Abby now is falling for a female. So spoiler if you haven't gotten there, it's quite interesting. So just had to give a shout out to Broad City. We've talked about that on this show. I think actually Foomy and I talked about that in our very first episode of this podcast.
Yeah.
So we love you girls. Keep up the good Broad City work just elsewhere.
Yeah.
And with that, is it time for our list?
Yep, let's do it.
I think so.
Let's do it. Let's dive in. All right, guys. Let's go with Foomy first. What you got, Foomy?
Okay. Well, I've got one thing on my list this week. It is On My Block Season 2. Mm. I have talked about On My Block Season 1 on this list.
You sure did.
And it's a great, great, great show about four inner city kids from Los Angeles, a fictional part of South LA called Free Ridge. They're teenagers. They're coming of age. It is a great show that showcases friendship, family, authenticity, and just like young, like love with like kids just starting out really of their life. Mm-hmm. And, season one ended with a shooting. Wow. And these these kids getting shot at a quinceañera. Oh, and God. Season two picks up right where season one, well, like a month after season one basically leaves off, where we find the answer to who survived and who died. And even though, you know, I say that that's the, like, that was like the cliffhanger, they're still incorporate like fun. Like, this show is not necessarily super sad. It's a, it's like a comedic show where I basically laughed and cried in every single episode.
Mm.
Was it a major season. Character that died, Foom?
It wasn't the main four.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's definitely an ad. I mean, season two does not disappoint. It is still so, 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 so good. And the episodes are like a half an hour or less. You can honestly knock them all out in an
love
afternoon.
That. Uh-huh.
The first season, I think, was 8 episodes or maybe 10. I think it was 10. It was 10. And the second season is also another 10. And each episode is a different chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's 20 chapters. And it was just so, so, so good. Like, this show is just so good. It's actually one of Netflix's highest rated shows.
That's
is
it amazing. Really? Yeah, I hear a lot about it. I do hear a lot about the show. So, yeah, people are watching, which is awesome. And where does it take place again? Is it in California?
It's a it takes place in California. It takes place in a fictional town called Free Ridge in South LA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Is season two better than season one?
They're both equally on par of greatness.
Okay.
Nice.
With
that's great.
Phenomenal music. Like, oh my God. Mm. Every episode I'm Shazamming and downloading a new song.
Oh, I love
like,
that.
I
don't you love that?
Love it.
I love when you're like, ooh, yes. Mm-hmm.
It's a phenomenal, phenomenal show. You still got Monse, you got Caesar, Jamal, Ruby, the quartet. Jasmine was this like quirky character in season one that she was recurring. She's full time in season two, so we get more of her. She's so freaking funny. Ruby is just like a shining star on the show. He is heart. His quirkiness is just so lovable. And Jamal.
Any gay characters?
No. No one's gay.
Okay.
No one's gay.
Tom's not watching.
And then Jamal is just like, he was funny in the first season, but like he just is able to showcase his comedy so much more in this season too. And you just get more of the lovebirds, Caesar and Monse, and basically, you know, they are just going through a lot of things. Caesar is, he was brought up in a gang-affiliated household, and he doesn't want to be a gang member, but his, like, grandfather was one, and his father was one, and his brother was one, and so he doesn't really have a choice, and some of the actions that he's forced to partake in his life is just really, really heartbreaking, and, you know, it's just a lot that a 15-year-old would have to go through, and it's just really interesting to just watch all of that, but still showcase, you know, just what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, there are no gay characters, Tom, but there's like this show so goes against like the toxic masculinity that we all
got it. Okay,
see on shows.
You can feel that even just looking at pictures of it. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, they're like the boys on the show were not afraid to cry. They're not afraid to tell their friends that they love them. They're not afraid to show emotion and like. You know, just be who they are and tell each other that they're scared. So it's just a really, really fantastic show. So add it to your list on
my
block.
Will there be a season three?
Oh, definitely. I wouldn't even.
Okay.
I wouldn't even accept there not being season three.
What year in high school are they, Foom?
So first season they just get into their freshman year. And the second season.
So there's some life
left.
Okay.
Their second season, I think they're sophomores. Wars. I'm not exactly sure on the timeline what happened.
They might have done that on purpose to be like, they're still freshmen.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And extend it even further.
But it's a phenomenal show.
That's great. Love that. All right. Cool. Thanks, Foom. Tom, what do you have?
I have the movie The Aftermath on my list this week. I only have one item. There's been a lot going on with my poor puppy.
Aww.
So I knew I was going to want to see this movie when I saw the trailer, and I actually saw the trailer a lot over the past few months.
Really?
Because it's World War II.
Okay.
And after post Holocaust, and I'm always fascinated by things that are about the Holocaust. Right. So it's
the Holocaust
stars,
and gays. Those are Tom's favorites. And country music.
Yeah. I mean, how depressing. And
those three. If you talk about any of those, you got Tom's attention.
I know.
So, The Aftermath, it stars Jason Clarke, who's kind of having a moment right now because he is going to be in next weekend's Pet Sematary, which is poised to make some good money. Mm-hmm. Keira Knightley and Alexander Skarsgård.
Good cast.
Mr. Eric Northman himself, that's it, from True Blood, for all you True Blood fans out there. Hey. So, The Aftermath. What I really, really liked about it, I'll say it's an add this to your list right off the bat. You don't have to see it in theaters. It's probably a movie that you will enjoy more from your couch, to be honest. But it's a good movie. I enjoyed it very much. After World War II, Germany was like in shambles, right? Like it was a shithole, obviously, when they lost the war. And I really like how the movie kind of shows that because we don't really learn in history like, oh, well, what happened to Germany after,
right.
You know, I mean, yeah, you learn about Berlin and how the Berlin Wall divided it between East and West Berlin, sure. But the rest of the country was like in shambles. And, you know, there were a lot of people that died. There were a lot of people that were missing from all the bombings. And quite frankly, you had a lot of people suffering who didn't necessarily agree or support with the Hitler regime, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the movie really focuses on that. And so when Germany lost the war, Britain sent the British army in there to kind of like get Germany back on its feet. So Jason Clarke plays a very high-ranking official within the British army, and his name is Lewis, and Keira Knightley plays his wife Rachel. So she comes from the UK to Germany to meet Lewis and be with him for a while because he's going to be staying there for a while helping out the city of Hamburg. And basically, because Britain won the war and they kind of took control over Germany, they had the right to just go into people's houses and say, I'm going to live here with you and you have no right to tell me that I can't. So Lewis, Jason Clarke's character, he picks Skarsgård's house, and Skarsgård plays a very famous German architect. Fictional, of course, but he's very well known throughout Germany in the movie. And basically, because Lewis is away so much, Rachel, who's Keira Knightley, and Lubair, who is Alexander Skarsgård, they start kicking up a little bit of a romance. So it's kind of like, sort of a Romeo and Juliet, you know, forbidden love, because it's a British woman falling in love with a German guy. So that was kind of interesting and new and fresh. I liked it. What I liked most about it is Keira Knightley. Guys, she is so electrifying.
Okay, good. Cool.
I really like everything that she does. She's a really strong actress, though she has really bad teeth on her bottom row.
Oh, her bottom teeth. You would think she would have gotten those
I actually
by
noticed
now.
That in Colette.
No, do you notice a lot of people only fix their top? They never fix their bottom.
Yes.
They're like,
yes,
you're not looking at
so
that
true.
As much,
yeah,
but Tom's looking.
You don't notice your bottom row, so they don't get it fixed.
Wow.
Well, I noticed it in Kira's last movie, Colette, that she did in, like, September, and then I really noticed it again this time. But anyway, fantastic performances. Really surprising ending. The ending is not what you think it's going to be. It goes in a very different direction. It's shot beautifully. I mean, Hamburg is kind of, like, kind of in remote Germany in the mountains, and so there's a lot of, the director takes advantage of a lot of outdoor scenery in the snow with massive pine trees and mountains, and it's just so crisp and clear and just really a really nice love story and about redemption and healing, and I think you guys would both enjoy it from your couch, of course. So add it to your list when it makes its way to streaming or to HBO or Showtime.
I didn't hear about this movie at all, Tom, until like this week. I did not see a trailer.
Really?
I did not see. Did you see much for this film?
I did. Yeah, I saw trailers.
Trailers. I didn't see any of it. Wow. Okay. Cool.
Well, but I don't. I mean, I think I just saw a trailer for the first time like a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. Like, I don't think it was like a movie that they were gonna promote that heavy.
Right. And that's why
I mean, it's an independent movie, I think.
Okay. Or like at least low budget. Yeah. And that's why I just got a vibe. I'm like, ooh, that's like a good cast to only be promoting like now. That must not be good. So it's good to hear that it's good.
Well, it's funny because it has a really low Rotten Tomatoes critic score, but the viewer audience score is very, very high.
Huh. It's one of those.
Like 30% critics, 78% viewers.
Oh, wow. So, weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, really big disconnect.
Huh.
I'm somewhere in the middle. You know, I'm not going to say it's the best movie ever, but it's fine. Yeah. It's a good movie. It's a decent movie about post-World War II. Yeah, totally. Cool.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, Tom. And I will wrap up our list. I have two items on my list. So the first, I don't know why I'm so late to this game, y'all, because this is season 7 of this show. But I have just started this show, and I love it so much. It is a must add to your list. You both will be like, really? But I love it. MasterChef Junior. Oh, I love it, guys.
Oh.
Have you ever watched it?
I've heard about this. Yeah, I've heard a lot about it.
Oh, my God.
It's cute.
It's from my beloved Gordon Ramsay, who, again, I know he's been around for like 20 years plus on TV, but I'm slowly, over the last few years, getting into all the shows. I love him. I think he's great. And I love this show so much.
Wait, time
out
real quick. Hmm. I just ate at a restaurant that he went in his, 24 hours of hell or 48 hours in hell?
Yeah, 24 hours to go back.
He did a restaurant in Waterbury, Connecticut, which is where my ex and best friend Kevin lives. And we were there a lot this weekend seeing Allie, my dog. And we went to eat at the restaurant Vazzi's in Waterbury.
No way.
I think I saw that episode.
Around. Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
how,
yeah, yeah.
How was it?
It was very good. It was excellent. It was good. It's Mediterranean food. It's more heavily focused on Greek than Italian, but I give it two thumbs up.
Do you think they kept it up?
Wow. I guess they learned their lesson from Gordon.
I know, right?
Yeah, because it used to be just an okay, because I had eaten there years ago. Like, I ate there 8 or 9 years ago after taking my mom to, like, some psychic medium bitch.
Love it.
And it was fine. It was nothing that you'd ever write home about.
Right.
But now it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Okay, wow.
So, side note.
I love that. So, reality TV is real. Great. but so MasterChef Junior, I love it so much, guys. We're in season 7, like I said, so I can't really talk about any of the other seasons because for some reason I was like, I'm not watching that, but I am so happy I'm watching this season. It's very simple. So this description is not really going to surprise you. It's a bunch of cute kids from the ages of basically 8 to 12, 13-ish. A lot of kids. I didn't realize I have so many contestants on this show. I think it's 24 kids total. Each episode, 2 go home. That's how many there are. But it's just so good. You know, I'm someone who, you know, I like cooking, but I don't really do it much. I like to do it with someone else. So, like, Greg is the lead chef, and I'm, like, the person that's, like, stirring.
The sous chef.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, let me stir this up, or let me serve it, or, like, let me take the stuff out of the freezer and put it in there, and then you work your magic, you know? so that's kind of like where I am with cooking. So I just love seeing that these young kids, I mean, they are tiny. These little kids are amazing with food. They know so much. They know way more than I know about all this exotic food, all meats and cheeses and fruit and all this stuff. It's amazing. It's total food porn. It's great TV. And when they go home, they cry and I cry. It's very emotional.
That would break my heart.
Oh yeah. It's very emotional when it's not their time to progress to the next.
Is he mean to them?
No, he really is not. No. Mm-mm. No, that's also what's so great. Cause you know, we know he has quite a temper and can really lash out at people, but he totally tables that. And you know, when a child needs some, you know, stern criticism, he does give it to them, but it's never ever mean. No, it's really great. And there are two other judges with him. So it's Gordon, it's a female judge, Christina Tozzi, I think her name is, and Aaron Sanchez. So all of them are really great. It's a really good trio. It's also just very funny. They have a good sense of humor. The kids are all, you know, so young, and they're not even really self-aware, and they're all just so goofy. So I really enjoy it. I think it's great. It's on Fox. Season 7 just started just a couple weeks ago, just in early March. So totally dive in. It's just such a fun, carefree show to watch, and maybe you'll get some cooking tips, you know?
Cool.
And also, there's a lot of kids from New York and Jersey, so you know I'm rooting for them. Although, the Southern kids, they know how to cook, man. These kids are like, of course, right? Georgia and like Texas, they're like, they're always winning, baby. They are always winning. But I still am rooting for my local kids. So that's my first item, MasterChef Junior. And then my other item, going a little rogue here, something that I don't do often, but every now and then I like to give a game a shout out on this show. And since this episode 60, we, just so listeners know, we were originally, the three of us, planning to hang out this weekend, but Fumi's plans changed. She was going to come to the East Coast. We put a rain check on that, so hopefully that's happening soon. But I was actually hoping to play this game with you this weekend when we were all together. So I'm going to talk to you about it. Looks like this. Cinelinks. It's upside down. Cinelinks. Card game. Love it so much. Have you guys ever heard of it?
No.
Never. Please tell.
I had never heard of it until just a couple months ago. It kept popping up on an Instagram ad. I'm like, what is this Cinelinks and how do they know I'm me and everyone's watching me? Okay. Cinelinks. Awesome game. Card game. Very easy to play if you are trivia fanatics like the three of us are. Okay? Let me read about
it. Can you play while high and drunk or do you really need to be focused?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think the three of us could play while high and or drunk. I think
we're that knowledgeable about this shit.
Yes, because the three of us are like talking a mile a minute with all this trivia anyway. I think the general kind of entertainment lover might be a little delayed while intoxicated playing this game. But so Cinelinks is a card game for people who love movies. So it's mostly all movies.
Yay!
And you can play with anywhere between 2 and 6 players. And it's an easy card game where basically you are linking all of your cards. The whole goal is to get rid of your cards. Whoever gets rid of them the fastest wins the round. So you are linking names, directors, actors, movie titles, genres. You are connecting everything in your cards. You're trying to, it's basically 6 degrees of separation, that kind of thing.
Oh, fun.
You know?
Okay.
So here's the write-up on the back of the card. It's very short. So this will give you the full view. Ready to prove you know more about movies than your friends do? Cinelinks is the perfect way to test your movie knowledge and challenge your friends. The game consists of cards that have actors, directors, movies, genres, characters, scenes, or even quotes on them. Be the first to discard your hand by finding connections between cards to win. So I think it's super
fun.
The way Greg and I and his mom played it, I sucked them into it, and they're not as savvy as we are, so they didn't have as much fun as I did. But the way we played it was we totally allowed each other to look up on IMDb, like, you know, some connections here and there. We didn't think that was cheating, so, you know, whatever. However you want to play it, it can be way more complicated, way more intense, and maybe no cheating at all. But, yeah, the whole goal is just to say, okay, I have, you know, Scarlett Johansson, so I need to connect her to the card that's already down there. How do I do that? You know, that kind of thing. So I love it. It's super fun. The three of us must play sometime. I'll play it with anyone,
yes,
baby.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe we could play at, like, on an episode, like record it.
Right?
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like,
I was thinking of that, Tom. Totally. I love it. Yeah. And we can just cut it down somehow or something, but it could be a good little segment. Yeah. So it's super fun for anyone who is like us, who's like, oh yeah, so-and-so was in that movie with that person, directed by that person 10 years ago.
I mean, you know, the people that I could name, most people would be like, what? Marley Shelton who? You know, like.
Totally. Yeah. So check it out. Cinelinks. It's cheap. I got it on Amazon. You know, get it. It's awesome. It's a fun game. Play it with your friends. Play it with your fam. There you go.
Okay.
Cool.
So, guys, that is our list. It's a shorter list, but it's a good one. Still super solid. We had all ads, 4 ads this week. Mm-hmm. So add them up. We had On My Block Season 2. Fumi loves it. That is on Netflix, right, Fum?
It absolutely is.
Yes, of course. Why would it not be? She's our Netflix. What's an
Netflix nerd.
Yes. There you go, Tom. Netflix nerd. Duh. So easy. There you go. That's cool. And then Tom had The Aftermath, a movie in theaters now. And that was also an ad starring Keira Knightley, Jason Clarke, and Alexander Skarsgård. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had 2 ads as well. MasterChef Junior on Fox and the card game Cinelinks. Check them all out and let us know what you think of them if they're ads on your own list.
Yes.
And before this episode ends, we have to do a deep dive into Jordan Peele's The Twilight Zone. Ladies and gentlemen, you're entering another dimension, and that dimension is The Twilight Zone on CBS All Access.
Mm-hmm.
So, We are going to get into it. So if you remember, as we said earlier, last week we had a whole Jordan Peele discussion with us, and now we just can't get off that Jordan Peele bandwagon, and we are discussing The Twilight Zone, brand new on CBS All Access. I know, he is a busy guy. This is his time, and we are here to talk about it. So as of this recording, there are two brand new episodes of The Twilight Zone on CBS All Access. We have all watched the first one, right?
Yeah.
And we just want to get into it. This has been on our radar for a little while. Fumi especially has really been excited. Fumi, you watched the original series, which I didn't realize until recently. You love the original series.
Yeah. You guys didn't watch the original? It was so, like, ahead of its time.
I mean, I've seen episodes here and there.
I agree fantastic. With you that it was ahead of its time, but I'm with Tom where, yeah, I saw, like, clips here and there. I saw things here and there, but for some reason I was more... I feel like I watched other kind of creepy anthology shows back in the day.
Tales
like
from the Crypt.
Tales from the Crypt, Tales from the Dark Side, I think I want to call it. So I kind of was into more of that. But yeah, I feel like I'm one of the very few people that did not watch the original Twilight Zone.
You guys haven't seen the famous episode, like 20,000 Feet, with like the
guy. Oh, yeah, no, I've seen that one.
He sees the creature on the wing.
Yes, yeah, I have seen that episode, and okay. I saw
and the and Tower of Terror
segment.
One.
Yeah.
Oh, of All course. Right. Yes,
so you've
of course.
Seen some of the classics.
Yes, and I saw the plane segment in the Twilight Zone movie. I remember. I think with John Lithgow. I think he was.
Oh
in
my
that.
God! I forgot right? they did a Twilight yeah. Zone movie.
They did. Yeah. Yes, the movie apparently. I mean, I remember that segment. It was pretty good, but I guess the movie wasn't so great.
It wasn't.
You know?
Yeah. It wasn't.
I also didn't realize this is the third reboot of the show, because the show was in the 60s. And then it came back apparently in the 80s. And then I had no idea it came back in 2002 on UPN with Forest Whitaker. Did you guys know that?
I did not.
Right? I somehow missed that. So, yeah. Forest Whitaker was the host back on UPN. But anyway.
I'm going to have to Google that. I don't right? remember that at all.
I was doing some wiki and I was like, what? 2002 to 2003. Short-lived little reboot. But so anyway, this is the latest reboot of the show. Produced by Jordan Peele and a couple other names that I thought were recognizable and interesting. Real quick, it was Simon Kinberg, who is very much in the mm-hmm. X-Men world. We've heard his name. He's mm-hmm. written some of the X-Men's. He's produced yep. some big movies. So he's right there along with Jordan Peele as executive producer. And then also there was a name I saw from the horror world, Glenn Morgan, who if you're a fan of the Final Destination movies, he wrote some of those. Yep. So he wrote and directed the kind of crazy, kind of bad, but kind of good Black Christmas remake. Anyway, so we got some genre names in the mix. So we watched the first episode called The Comedian. And what do you guys think, Foom? Since you love the original, why don't you go first? What is your take on this new version?
Okay,
yay or
so
nay?
I just watched it, so I like don't remember names or anything. Mm-hmm. It was a yay. I'm not going to shade Jordan Peele on the first episode. It was long.
Yeah,
real long. And you guys know how much that pleases me.
Yeah.
So I definitely feel like that could have been Trey shorter.
Like mm-hmm. 7 minutes shorter, right, Foom?
I didn't even go to say like 10-15.
Oh,
honestly.
Right. Well, I honestly thought they were going to be 30-minute episodes. I really did.
I think they're supposed to be.
Well, this is interesting that we are bringing this up, because when I was doing my wiki, I realized that the original show, it ran for 5 seasons, felt like longer. 4 out of the 5 were all half an hour. 1 season was an hour. And then the reboots sort of were a mix between half an hour and an hour. So I don't really get that, but I kind of think, yeah, I kind of wish this was half an hour. I wish it was a nice, clean 30 minutes. Instead, we're getting like 52-minute, like, you know, with ads, comes to an hour.
Yeah.
I agree. It was a little slow. I think it could have been, especially this one, it's good, but we got a lot of repetition that I feel like.
Oh, I was just going to say that. It was repetitive. Yeah. Like, after the third person disappears and he does a set, I mean, should we tell the background? So, essentially, the comedian is Kumail Nanjiani. Nanjiani?
Something like that. Kumail, you know him from The Big Sick.
And
a bunch of other things.
Yeah, so he's a comedian who's not good. I mean, he's no talent, but he sees Tracy Morgan at a bar. Tracy Morgan is some sort of, like, wizard or witch or something, and, like, grants him this wish to be funny. But, like, the catch is that the people he talks about end up disappearing and they like no longer exist. So like he basically alters his universe, right?
Totally.
And
which is good.
Which is
like
an interesting
concept.
Yeah,
totally. But like after like the third person like disappears, I feel like we get it.
We
don't
got
need
it.
To
yep.
see him do another stand up when another someone else disappears. And I was just like, ugh. I will say that the only thing that I thought was super creepy about the episode was how quickly the audience reacts to his stand-up, like when he goes and starts talking about somebody. It's like, it was really eerie how, frankly, it wasn't even funny what he was saying.
No, not at all.
Like, at all. But the audience just starts to laugh, like almost to the point where it's like they're in pain, they're laughing so hard.
Right, like it's all forced. Yeah.
Yeah, it was so creepy.
Yeah, it definitely was creepy. And I have to say, I have to give props to the score because the music and the heartbeat sounds like really amped up the suspense, which was great, you know.
The set design was great,
totally,
too.
Set design was great, yeah. And the
it was
shots
very atmospheric.
Were great, you know. Totally. What do you think, Tom? So overall, are you going to keep watching? What do you think?
So, like I said, my pros were that it was super atmospheric. The set design was awesome. It did have a creepy ending. That shot of like Kumail being in that mural on the wall of that comedy club was pretty spooky.
Yes. Very Shining.
See, I thought that was lame. Yes. Thank you, Mark. I was this is really how you guys are going to end it? Just basically take the playbook out of The Shining? Like, the most obvious
that's a good point.
Way but, to end it? Like,
yeah,
I was kind of disappointed by that.
Yeah, they basically copied, and I would have liked to have seen his face among all the people that also disappeared, but it didn't look like that. It just looked like his face in a bunch of random faces. So yeah.
But my biggest issue with the show, I just couldn't get into him because I don't like Kumail as an actor. I did not like the big sick. I don't find him funny. I just find him really annoying. And for Jordan to kick off the show with that was like, ugh, really. It was way too long for me. And, you know, originally I thought it was going to have something to say about politics because the comedian always starts off with a gun joke, gun violence and gun laws. And then at one point he even makes a really salacious comment about Donald Trump. And so I thought that the message of the episode was going to be about how we're afraid to talk about politics. And that we want to run away from it and laugh at stupid shit. But then it ended up just being a whole careful what you wish for kind of message. And I thought it would have been interesting if he's kind of went a little more hard hitting with a political message. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to keep watching, to tell you the truth, to answer your questions.
Oh, wow.
One episode?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't like it.
Wow, interesting, Tom. Okay. I personally am definitely going to keep watching. I'm in agreement with everything you both are saying. I did like it, though, so I want to check out. And I have a feeling this is going to be the kind of show where some episodes I just won't be into, whether it's the cast, whether it's the story, whatever.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you guys caught, at the end of the episode, they did a This Season On and showed a sick trailer filled with all the cast members. It was a whole montage of the whole entire season, and it looked awesome. So I said to Greg, I was like,
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah, check it out. Go back. It's at the very end of the episode. I mean, it's, like, amazing. So I hope it's as exciting as that show is, because it could have some really good stuff. But, yeah, I do think it should be shorter. I actually think also, why not shoot this in black and white, like the original? You know, that's something different. You think that's too gimmicky?
Yeah, I kind of liked.
I liked
agree
seeing
with
it
you
in
guys.
Color.
I think that I do too. I thought the cinematography was actually one of the best things about the episode.
I just thought it could be fun to see it in black and white because we already have Black Mirror.
I think you'll do episodes where it'll probably be in black and white as homage to it.
Yep.
But I don't know. I guess. Well, I mean, you bring up a good point. We have Black Mirror. We also have
Room 104.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Room 104 on HBO. So we have like these anthology kind of creepy type series that are done really well. So Jordan's going to have to do something to have the Twilight Zone like stand out.
Yeah, he has big shoes
own.
To fill.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I don't necessarily know what the answer is to, like, making it, like, be exceptional and really good and making it be, like, the show that we talk about.
Right.
But
well, it's already facing an uphill battle.
I'm definitely going to keep watching for sure. Mm-hmm.
What'd you say, Tom?
Yeah, and I was going to say it's already facing an uphill battle by being on a streaming platform, right?
Versus, right, especially a newer one like CBS All Access, which, you know.
Versus being just on regular CBS.
I did think it was interesting, though, when I was just Googling the show a bit. Apparently, episode 2, the one with Adam Scott that is called 30,000, A Nightmare at 30,000 Feet or whatever. It's kind of like the remake of that famous episode.
It's a shorter episode.
Is it shorter? Oh, okay. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
But
it's
like
26 minutes or something.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. So I guess, all right, then I guess everything's going to kind of be a different... That's interesting. All right. But no, what I saw that kind of piqued my interest was that one was supposed to be the first one. There's like a code. Someone put in like a production code on Wiki, and that was number one, which I'm surprised that wouldn't be number one. Right. I'm surprised that wouldn't be the first one they want to, you know, premiere with because it already has such a legacy and is sort of a new version. So, yeah, I wonder why they went with this one. But I'm gonna keep watching. I think for me personally, it would have to really be boring for me to give it up. And it's not boring just yet. It took me a little bit to get into this. But once it was going, I was into it. Once it was, you know, once we were in full swing, I was pretty into it. But, yeah, a lot of repetition. Not so funny jokes. I think it could have been interesting if at first he actually really was laugh out loud funny for us. Like if he really, you know, and then we start to see, oh, he's not really funny, but they're like you said, Foom, like they're just like painfully laughing at everything he says, you know? But I think for me, it would be an add this to your list.
I totally agree. I think it's an add for me too, but I don't know. I feel like I almost feel like I got tainted because Tom had texted us and was like,
I know.
It's like, ugh. Really, with this dude? And I was like, oh, I mean, I don't necessarily have any type of feeling towards Kamal, but then I started to watch and I was like, I mean, I guess I could have went with the stronger lead.
Yeah.
For the
you
first
know,
episode.
I did like hard. The diversity. I feel like,
yes. Oh, and I have
there
to say,
there was barely
I love the
a white
actress.
Person in that episode, which
yeah, this,
I thought was great.
This episode, you're so right, yeah. Oh, and Foom, I just remembered, you are not a Tracy Morgan fan. So Tom hates Kumail, you hate Tracy. On the flip side, I love the actress that plays his girlfriend, Amara Karan. She was in The Night Of on HBO. Do you guys remember that a couple years ago?
I didn't watch that.
Oh, fantastic. What a good show. I would love for that to come back, but who knows what's happening with that. But she is great. So yeah, great cast, of course, which we knew from the early trailers and commercials and all that. So I'm intrigued to see what's coming, you know, in the future with this show. I think
was Rod Sterling credited as one of the executive producers or created by. Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rod. Oh, yeah. He had it created by in that opening credits, which it's funny. I was expecting that to be first. So I'm like, wait, they're not even going to do that. And I texted you guys.
Yeah,
I'm like,
you texted
where's like the Twilight Zone
like,
opening? Like with the whole, like, and then you're basically like, just hang on, hold on a minute. And then as soon as you texted me that, I was like, oh, okay, I see it now. I see Jordan. But I was like getting really upset. I was like, wait a minute, it's not going to have
right.
That's like half the reason why we're all showing up. Like, come on now, you know?
Totally.
So yeah. But that's basically, any other last thoughts about Twilight Zone premiere?
No. Do we know how many episodes it's going to be?
I want to say at least 10. Yeah, I think according to IMDb, it's showing
it's 10.
10. Yeah.
And it's every week?
I guess so, yeah. So right now the first two, I think it's kind of like Hulu, right? Like the first two episodes are out, and then each week, it looks like one each week until May 30th.
It's
one of those sitches. So we'll see how it goes. We'll have to maybe talk about it as the weeks go on and see how some episodes are, you know, maybe better than others, you know?
Yeah.
But that is it, ladies and gents. So that was episode 60 of Add This to Your List. Thanks so much for checking us out. Keep following us on social and subscribe on iTunes. Follow us on Spotify, all that good stuff. Please leave a rating on either of those and tell a friend to add this to their list because that'd be really great.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. And my last thing I wanted to say was it is painful to say, but this is my last episode of Add This to Your List. I've just gotten too busy, so this is my last one. And April Fools! I mean, I'm busy, but I mean, you can't get rid of me that easily.
I knew you were joking immediately.
Yeah? I don't know. You both were like,
yeah, I was
what?
Like, what is he doing? Okay.
can you... Can you imagine if I like didn't give you guys a warning and I was like, fans, this is my swan song. Anyway, yeah, I wanted to do a little April Fool's biatch, because even though April Fool's is over, it's still April. All right. And on that note, peace out. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye, guys.